Wait just a sec.
Okay.
Okay.
I will try to explain it real clearly. I don't know how to put it into words, but it's when you're used to living on your own, growing up, and having no boss beside your parents, then you start having your own home. It's not easy. But gradually, people get used to doing things together, and it's worth all the problems in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You get used to each other, and then you start working for each other and be happy to please each other. And it's get really, then you get to depend on each other. In the beginning, you don't know how to depend on each other. It's, and that's a big change from being your own boss to start living with somebody who has different ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And
you were saying something earlier about the responsibility involved.
Oh yeah. When a girl is living with her parents yet, she don't have much responsibility, but the responsibility of running a home is a big change from, it's different when, I thought I was running a home when I was staying with my dad, but he used to kind of tell us what to do, and he was not a demanding person. He was a really easygoing person. He understand we're just kids and never expect such hard task from us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to learn how to tan moose skin and skins. Then I have to think. I have to sew for both of us. And where before that I didn't have to worry about somebody else's mittens and beside my little sisters and brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really good. I have a question that maybe either one of you or both of you could respond to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the adjustments that you made in the early years of your marriage were any different because Johnson was Indian and you were Eskimo? Were there things about your growing up in an Eskimo family and Johnson growing up in an Indian family that made it harder for you than it might have been for other people if, say, you were both Eskimo or both Indian?
I think it made it harder because his beliefs were different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
And since after our mother died, we grew up pretty much on our own. And I guess, our grandmother was there, and she was really old too. But when I was smaller, she tell me a lot of superstition things and everything. But gradually, it just kind of wear off when we live on our own too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then, his ways were much different than mm-hmm. my way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually, I think we did really good, though, to adjust to that's just, it wasn't that hard mm-hmm. after a while, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, Johnson? Did you experience things like that too?
Yeah, it was just nothing for me.
Uh-huh.
I think it's because I was older. And yeah, I was living outdoors mostly all the time, almost
uh-huh.
year round, you know,
uh-huh.
away from home, wherever I stay, you know. I was just outdoors all the time. And those Irish way of our life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one who wanted to get married and have children, so mm-hmm. it didn't. I don't think I was so happy, you know. It never did bother me, but I was older, and
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. the way I grew up, I kind of think I was the one who used to say what to do, what mm-hmm. which way we're supposed to work mm-hmm. and everything. I was just working like that, just my way.
So there wasn't that big a change for you, is that?
No, right? It was, nothing was changed from
yeah. I bet it was better for you, easier.
Really, it was really better for me because uh-huh. I don't have to worry about anything in wherever we live, you know,
sure.
our little tent or
uh-huh.
any place. Because I have somebody there to take care of everything.
It's a good deal for you, huh?
Mm-hmm. All I do is just eat and get ready and go.
You know, uh-huh. Sure.
Stay out all day.
Sure.
Come back in the evening. All I have to do is take my boots off. Sometimes I'm so tired, you know, walking around the house in the woods all day, but I hang my knocked up and dry and everything. Well, I never even think about her. She worked all day, but she's a really healthy woman, so it didn't bother her because that's the way she grew up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
She grew up mostly outdoors, too, uh-huh. and she knew how to work heavy because I see some of the people, you know, where I grew up are different places. There were some people that not maybe they were not healthy, you know, they don't work that hard, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And my birthday, you know, she always hard work. So it was nothing changed, my it was just better that
way. Oh. Well, that's good. Okay, let's take a little break here. One of the things that we should probably put in here is perhaps some of the stories that people or older members of your family may have passed on. Can you think of any that we should add?
Yes, my grandmother was a really good storyteller. She talked lots. She always used to talk about the true stories. She had a lot of true stories in her that she talked about. And all those years I lived with her, one of them is she remember her grandmother. When she was real small, her grandmother was alive, her mother's mother. And her mother's mother was, let me see, what was her name now? I can't remember her mother's mother. I did before, but I forgot. Anyway, her grandmother told her that years ago, when she was raising her own kids, one day she went out seining with her kids and with another lady and her children too. There was two families. And they put their seining net into the birch bark boat and they land in a good place to seine. So they put the net out, then they pull the net back. Just before they pulled the net to the shore, with all that fish inside, and they just got the fish out of a fish net to the beach where they'll start putting the fish in the boat or put them in the ground where they'll string them. This is little white fish that's over in Kobuk River.
Mm-hmm.
And just as they got ready to start picking the fish off the net, the fish is not caught in the net. It just, go around and, you know, mm-hmm. pull it together. So they start hearing something back in the woods and they listen and they can hear a lot of wolves making noise. So they put all their children in the birch bark boat. Then they went across the river to the other side of the river, and they landed on the other side. And sure enough, all those wolves come out and went to the net and start eating the fish. And this older woman, she start talking. In those days, they always think animals could hear them when they talk, but you know, they sort of this woman start talking to the wolves across the river, and pretty soon after they finished eating, they left the net, and the women went across and got their net back. That's one of the stories I never forget. Mm. I don't know why.
Did she tell you what the old woman said to the wolves?
That old woman told the wolf, feel sorry for the kids we have, and the food you're getting is supposed to be for the children. Mm. That's what they say. They say. And another one is, she tells story about, she said it used to be dark long ago. I don't know if that's true or not, you know, but they had a story from way back. It was passed on from one person to the other. She said it used to be dark, real dark years ago. And people used to make living in the dark even. And they would, in the dark, they would go out look for wood. And she say, they told her they go in the woods and check for wood. She say they check, in winter time, they check with their tongue, see if it's dry or not. And then they get wood. And that was before it got bright, she say. And they make their living even if it was dark. I wonder if it really was dark.
Mm.
I got no way to find out. Yeah, it's hard to tell. And she told me story also about them two. They used to go to spring camp. They walk to a certain place around April. Then they spring there all spring. Then they usually make raft to float down. She said when she was a young girl, they were floating down this river called Maniliak. And she said in some place, I think I might be wrong, but because I never see it and everything, mm-hmm. but I'm just telling the way I remember it. Mm. When you remember things, sometimes you make it a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they were floating down this river. It's not a big river, I know. And she said they come to this place where there's big rocks. And there's this one rock looked like somebody's chin.
Mm-hmm.
And it has those, they used to have that tattoo in their chin.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that rock has a big chin and it has tattoos on it. And beside that, there was two big round rocks, real round. And that's what that person, that face, those two big rocks belong to that person where they used to play games with their hands with two round rocks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What they call that?
I don't know.
Anyway, my grandma called it the Iglukishak.
Uh-huh.
That's just throwing the two rocks up. And she said before they get to that place, they used to try find two rocks. So when they're floating down in front of that place, they used to play that game with their two rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. another thing she told me too was they used to be short of food in springtime. A lot of times, that's why people move around a lot. They say the best thing in those days is never leave the river in the springtime. Not to try to go a long ways in the springtime because they can run out of food. It would spoil or
mm-hmm.
they cannot carry enough food. And they can't go far in a little while in the springtime because they have to... When they're traveling on foot, it's really slow. So a lot of times people used to try to stay near the river where there's a little creek or lakes where they can fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to really be careful, or else they'll starve. And they do have starvation times. She tells a story about one family. They starved before long ago. And the mother lived, but, oh no, they all lived, I think. But they were traveling, they ran out of food, and they had these sealskin mukluks on, and they're kind of greasy. And she say, along with the plants or roots, what they could eat, they chew part of that mukluks too, to have taste like food, you know, like seal oil. And I guess they don't eat it, but they just chew part of it just to taste food. And lots of times they used to have some people used to die, and springtime too. And see, after I grow up, then I kind of figure out what they die of. They used to thought it was superstition. They thought in the springtime, that's probably in June when it's hot, and they thought in the springtime when they're fishing in those lakes or creeks, and they're not supposed to handle they're not supposed to sew skins or cut up skins, or they're not supposed to do anything with their skins. They can wear it, but they're not supposed to cut it or sew it or tan it or anything, the caribou skin. Or else they're going to get sick and die. And the kind of sickness they got is, she described it to me, but I remember it real well because she told the story so many times. She say they fishing here, and she didn't actually see them, but she just tell me a story about some families. They fishing in this one place, and then pretty soon they start getting sick. All of them start getting sick. The kind of sickness they get is just like their they can't see good. They see double vision, and they start throwing up, and they're very thirsty, real thirsty. And then they keep doing that and that, and they're just dizzy. Then pretty soon they just die. And after I grow up and start thinking about it, and I always think why it happened at a certain same time of the year, then I just know that that's probably, they probably eat the, when they cut fish, they hang it up, it probably was spoiled by the sun. And I bet that was botulism.
Botulism,
I bet. And anyway, my grandma used to say, in fishing time, in springtime, that's when it happened. And they think it's just, they never figure it out. It was from the food. And
that's a very interesting.
I think about it all the time. She said one time her and her sister and her her brother-in-law, her sister, her younger sister's husband and her sister and her, they almost did that. It was springtime. And they all got sick, and she said, and they built fire, and then they start, I guess, talking, you know, for healing or something. And she say they sit down there, and then they left their camp. Maybe when they left, they must have leave all the spoiled. And my grandmother always tells story about the first time they see, she see white people. She was not a woman yet, so she must have been about 11 or 12 years old. And some place I read, it could have been around 1986. And anyway,
you mean
1886, I mean. And she say they remember this boat coming up. She never did say how it run up or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember her talking about a lot of black stuff. So it must have been the steamboat that burned wood.
Mm.
And anyway, she said these people come up and come up the Kobuk River. And she used to talk about this. They know the people's names. One was Mr. Stoney. She say it different, but she used to say, she used to call him Midgey Johnny. Then after a while, I asked my dad, what was it? I thought she said, try to say Mr. Johnny. But after a while, I found out it was Mr. Stoney.
Mm, okay.
And she say, they came up, and then I guess they wintered up there. The first winter they stay, they built a place and wintered in the ups. She didn't, I don't remember a certain place, but it was in the Kobuk River, and I don't know just exactly what location they wintered. Anyway, they start trading with them. And one of the things her mother trade was, it was a pack of dried fruit. And she remember, and they start liking the sweet stuff right off, she say. And but they couldn't get used to salt. Everything was too salty.
Mm.
And they didn't like salty food because they live way up away from the sea water too.
Mm.
And they didn't like salty food at first. Mm. She said before that, they used to have the things they got from white people first. She remembered that the people used to have was tobacco, and sometimes they have some kind of drink. I don't know what it is. She said it come in a cake.
Mm.
And
excuse me, when you say drink, you mean alcohol?
Yeah, alcohol drink in a cake. Mm-hmm. And other thing they first get was flour and molasses and sailcloth. It's the white canvas, mm-hmm. but it's sailcloth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the things they used to get. And with the sailcloth, they used to make... they start making summer garments with it. Before that, they always wear skin clothing all year.
Mm.
Like when the hair wear off their winter clothing, then it's for summer clothing.
Mm.
Then when they got first, when she was small, they start using sailcloth and they start making summer clothes with it. And the flour used to, a bag of flour used to last them a long time, like maybe a 50-pound bag. How they cook it is they boil water, then they mix some of the flour as a paste, and they gradually put it into the boiling water. And sometimes they add molasses to it, or sometimes they add pieces of fat, or sometimes they add that flour to broth. And that's the only way they know how to
mm-hmm.
use the flour the first time they start using it. Mm. She didn't tell me anything about rice and all the other things.
Mm-hmm.
Then they trade with those people. They make winter clothing for them, and those people give them. What they didn't like was salty food, though.
Mm. In the old days, they used to use salt to preserve meat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have beef or something like that.
Pork.
Mm-hmm. Pork, salt,
yeah,
pork,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, that's, and then they cook it with beans and
yeah.
stuff. She remember beans. She remember they went into this boat. They go, I guess they just want to see what it looked like. And those people offered them beans. And she said they tasted it and it was really salty. And when somebody offer you something to eat, it's not polite to say no. So that time, one of the kids put all his food into the crack that was in that boat. So he never forget about it. And then they start learning a little bit English words.
Mm-hmm.
She said one young girl learned how to say goodbye and hello. And she used to say it the backwards. She say when she come to them, she say goodbye. And then after that, she's walking away and she tell them hello. And I guess they did that a lot for a long time. They didn't learn to talk English. Not everybody anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she had the early memories of the first white man that come up there.
That's a really nice story. I'm mm-hmm. glad we have that one on tape.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson, do you have any other stories that you want to recount, you want to tell from that you heard from Big William or other old people when you were young? We got a few the other day, and I want to make sure that we don't leave things out that you want to put in.
Okay. Yeah, what my grandfather told me about his younger life, I guess white men start coming around already when my grandfather was, Big William was man.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the first thing he found out when he became man, he walked to Tanana from around Alakaka simply. This is winter time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were shells already and they have rifles.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to walk to Tanana. I don't know how long it took them to walk. It was about 4 or 5 minutes walking
mm-hmm.
together to buy shells and tobacco. And tea, I think it was. That's all they could pack, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to Tanana. There was store at
mm-hmm.
Tanana. There was inchy stories of steamboat going back and forth
oh,
in the summer.
Sure.
So there was store. He said, first thing they bought was whatever they got in, like fur and Martin skins, link and stuff. They find out those was for sale. They heard about it from different places. I don't know. The news go back and forth, you know, there was people traveling, walking, you know, from
sure.
different villages. And it just keep passing along all the way up the river and back down again. So they know there was stores. They know these steamboats come up Kaikuk River, but they didn't know anything about it. And the steamboats, there was gold miners, prospectors,
mm-hmm.
white people there, but gold rush days, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
1898.
Mm-hmm.
But way before that, these steamboats used to come up, you know, one
mm.
or two every summer.
Mm.
But they don't know what they were doing.
That's interesting. I didn't realize there were steamboats that came up the Kaikuk before the gold rush. That's good to know.
Yeah. They said there was steamboat, but they don't know what those steamboats were doing because they heard about steamboat before that already then.
Sure.
From Yukon River.
Sure.
And steamboat would come up and go so far up Kaikuk River, like around Alakak, it maybe go up Alatna River a little ways and back down,
mm-hmm.
go up Kaikuk River, but maybe go far South Fork and go back down in the summer. Those people would like to buy snowshoes and stuff, you say.
Oh.
And people sell them snowshoes straight, you know.
Yeah,
whatever
sure.
they have. They start having flour and stuff, then, like the story Bertha tell, you know, they
uh-huh.
make some kind of broth with flour that was their pot of stew.
Uh-huh.
They make with flour. Then, as time go along, they find out there was a lot of other things that they could use from white people. There was shells, all different kind of rifles. First thing about rifles, so it was from way back, I guess, you know, because people started trade, I think, earlier from the coast, like around Kotzebue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that was the first one start from down that way.
Uh-huh.
You know, about rifles, all kinds. There was big rifles first before they know anything about small rifles, 22 and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was all big rifles.
When you say big rifle, do you mean longer or do you mean heavier caliber?
Yeah, heavy, heavy ones.
Yeah.
Like, it was not 30-30, and there was 40-40.
Oh, I see what you mean.
45, they call it, I don't know what kind of rifle it was.
Big caliber.
Yeah, big, yeah, single shot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when first they hear about white people, they say it used to be in summertime. A noose come along, and you know, I don't know how, ahead of those white people from down there, because I guess they hear about it down around Mata, Yukon,
mm-hmm.
all around. Those white people, they can't get along, you know, because they're just new together. They heard that white people coming up there, so they said those people would get ready, women go back in the woods, all men that's all in the river.
Mm.
They go back and forth like that, well, I don't know for how long.
Mm.
I guess finally they found that the white people was trying to help them. But I guess they had rough time, you know,
mm-hmm.
way back someplace they can understand each other and everything.
Sure.
Yeah. So it sounds like they had a really hard time. So Grandpa used to tell a story about those hard times where they can understand each other.
Mm-hmm. Did your grandpa ever go over to Kalbuk himself?
My grandpa Big William never did, but my real grandfather, Chief Moses, his name was Chief Moses.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere around 1885 and 1895, in between around there, while my mother Caesar was just a little girl. Mm-hmm. She just barely remember. I used to think my oldest brother, the oldest son she had, my mother Caesar, he was born somewhere around 1903. Mm. So I would, you know, kind of think about her age.
1905
was born, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
1905. And if she was 15, you know, at that time when mm-hmm. my brother was born, because they used to get married young, you know,
mm-hmm.
if she was 15, then she would born around 1890, you know. And if she was 4 years old or something, she started remembering, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She heard that leaf and crust, you know, that's in April, with two dogs. He get little Yukon sleigh, get all his fur from what he trap all winter. He never used those white man steel trap, what they mm-hmm. call iron trap. He used all stick trap, we call it. I don't mm-hmm. know what the real name is. Mm-hmm.
Deadfall,
yeah. That's the only kind he used to use, deadfall trap. So I get all his fur together, then I don't know, two or three gunny shacks, what is about 50 pound shacks, I guess, full.
Mm.
And he haul it over to Kobuk. He got trading friend over Kobuk. I don't know that guy's name, but
they probably didn't have gunny sack that time,
yeah,
maybe
it's
bundles.
It's bundles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother always said it was in shack all the time. There's
some kind of
shack in
hmm.
they had it in. So he hauled it to Kobuk, and his friend would be waiting for him in Kobuk. And by this time it's ready for ice to go out in Kobuk. So they wait till no more ice in there, wouldn't they? Get in this boat.
Skin boat.
His friend have skin boat. I don't know how big, anyway, somewhere around 20 feet long, I bet, you know, and high on both sides. Skin boat, I don't know how this made out of.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, then, anyway, they load up and go down to Kotzebue.
Mm-hmm.
They paddle down. And he stayed down there all summer, trade.
Oh.
Trade and wait for a steamboat to come. I don't know where it used to come from, someplace.
No, I think they line up.
No.
Oh.
He wait for steamboat and
come you. Oh. Oh, uh-huh.
For that freight to come.
Sure.
From someplace.
Uh-huh.
He said, when finally the steamboat come, people used to wait for him. He said, Kotzebue was just tent and igloos, that's all here and there, he said,
uh-huh.
That time. And he said, people would look out, and he looked to his little boat out, way out there, that's far as that boat could go.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, they get in their skin boat and paddle out. When they get there, it's a big boat, he used to say. For this store. They started half store in Kotzebue then. They got some white people running store.
Mm-hmm.
They haul all whatever they buy, they haul it back to the store. Then from in there, they buy their outfit next.
Mm.
Go back to back Kubak River and him over back to Alkakit.
Mm-hmm.
So they sell all their fur, his body and him, trading body, Kubak, from Kubak River. They buy all their rifles and ammunition, shells, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the rifles. I don't
mm-hmm.
know how many rifles. They buy mostly rifles and mucklucks. They go back to all summer. I don't know how long it took them. They line and paddle all the way up to Kubak from Kotzebue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by fall time, they get to Kubak. Then he got two dogs, then after freeze up, he load up his sleigh. My mother said he used to have one poke of seal oil, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That could be about 10 gallons maybe of
mm-hmm.
oil in that one seal poke. He hauled that one, all his guns, all his rifles and shells and tobacco. He hauled back to Arctic Circle, Arctic City, that's
mm-hmm.
12 mile below Alkakit. This
mm-hmm.
used to be a village. When he come back, then he started selling these rifles. My mother said he piled marten skins or fox skins, so many each for one rifle.
Uh-huh.
There was no prizes on the marten skins or what kind of fur, you know,
uh-huh.
all different.
It was all a trade.
Yeah, they just kind of pilot how many there is in the different kind of fur.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather would give them a rifle for that money. For about 2 or 3 years, my mother said.
Mm-hmm. In other words, he would go back every year?
Every year.
Uh-huh.
And he lived down there all summer.
Uh-huh.
From April till November, I guess.
Uh-huh.
How long he stay away from
so
his family.
To be gone.
Yeah. Walking.
Uh-huh.
Rowing and paddling then walk and pull. Same time with the two dogs he had.
Uh-huh.
1 year he bought one dog, so he have three dogs to come back.
Uh-huh.
To all his load. And my grandfather who raised me, Big William, sounds like he didn't go any place too much. Beside walking to Tanana
mm-hmm.
a few times, I guess, or over to Stevens Village, that's just over here in Yukon River, a little
mm-hmm.
way,
mm-hmm.
Rampart, that's where the first stores
mm-hmm.
started, and Tanana. And I have relatives in Stevens Village, Rampart, Tanana, and all the way down. That's where my grandmother's family spread out when they were young because of not enough food, you know, around Kaikuk River.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like when they used to tell stories, they said Yukon River was a really good place to make a living because of a lot of fish in summertime and rich fish.
Yeah.
And I guess people know how to store their fish because they have so much, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did he he ever talk about times when people, you said talked about hard times. Did he ever talk about times when people starved to death?
Yes, there was a lot of times that people starved around Kaikuk River.
Uh-huh.
Mostly Kaikuk River because there was no fish. And sometimes people make mistakes, like Bertha was just telling a story a while back, that you can't get away from year-round camp too far away, because if you know, you have to know there's people in different places, like in the lake, or this lake creek village, you always could get fish.
Mm-hmm.
And in the lake in winter time, there's what we call blackfish. I don't know if anybody know about blackfish, but they're kind of small. They would be about 4 inches long, and they're really rich fish.
Mm-hmm.
In winter time, they look around the muskrat, push up, and they have good hearing, you know, them people, and they listen. They could hear the fish making noise in those muskrat houses.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they make noise in the water, bubbles, you know. Be really careful, they walk away from in there, then they make fish trap. Even women, they say, used to make fish trap.
Mm-hmm.
In the story I told you about already,
mm-hmm.
a little fish trap with funnel on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they make little water hole, they clear the snow off on top, and they make little hole, and they chip the ice out. They never drop the ice into that water.
Oh.
They say, if you drop ice into that water, those little blackfish will disappear, move to a different place. So they make big enough hole for that fish trap, that's all. They never drop no snow or piece of ice into that water. Really careful, they push that trap down, and they would have post on it, so if it's not too deep, like about 6 feet deep, they get a long pole and tie that trap on.
Mm-hmm.
And they push that stick down and leave about 4 inches of water on top of that fish trap. Right against, there's the ice or just lack tissue in the bottom. Mm-hmm. It's kind of whitened out in the bottom because the fish come out and saw the ice out there.
Oh.
So you put the trap kind of close to the outside where they could come up on the side and just go right down.
Uh-huh. So the fish come in from the top.
Yeah, from the top.
Right.
Yeah. They go up, get the air, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make noise up there. The bubbles make noise, really. Mm-hmm. And they go down again. And that's how they catch those little blackfish. People do that all winter long if they can't catch fish. And they got fish traps in the creek, you know, if there's open water. And they say all winter long they catch something, sometimes muskrat and pike. And some people, you know, like we told the story that they never even think, they think they could make better living someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
So they leave their camp, go. First thing they know, they can't do nothing. Snow and deep snow, they get caught out there and nobody know about them. First thing they do is starve. My grandfather said there was some old people that stay one place year round.
Yeah.
One big lake like the Mankahoko back in Fish Creek.
Right.
Big lake that used to be like a town. Old people would live there year round, they fishing in winter and the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they got cash in the ground. I don't know how deep it was, but they say in the ground, they call it shoes. Shoes, this cash they make was, they split poles, big poles, and they stand it up, kind of sharp pointed on top and white bottom. They dig down a little bit with they make paddle like, you know, to dig the ground with, they call it, what do we call it, shovel, I guess, today.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to stop you, John, because I think I'm almost out of tape. Let me just put another one on to catch
just
the
just a little more than we could quit.
Yep, we aren't going to go on much longer.
Yeah, I'm going to finish that.
Mm-hmm.